Welcome to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means, Subcommittee on General Government. Today is June 6, 2017, and we will be having a public hearing only on House Bill 2191-8 relating to business entities. And at this time, we do have a representative. Please come forward.
I'm going to drag the Department of Justice with me, if that's all right.
Hey, if you bring the law with you, then I'm okay with that, too.
thank you, Co-Chair Manning and committee members. Pleasure to be here on House Bill 2191. This is a result of many years of work. We actually had a hearing on this subject matter in 2007. So, and Peter Threlkill from the Secretary of State's office was with me at that time, and I think he might be testifying again today. But just simply, you may have seen news about shell corporations in the Portland papers and around the state. Oregon has been kind of a hotbed for the creation of shell corporations, which have the ability to launder money, for one, and also commit fraud, and unable to track down the individuals who are responsible for these corporations and in any kind of judicial process. So with the help of the Attorney General, we sat down with a lot of stakeholders. We invited a lot of people. And, you know, we had the Oregon State Bar. We had Chris Hall from Perkins Coie with that, Anthony Smith from NFIB. We had the Department of Revenue. The Secretary of State's office was very engaged, as well as the Department of Consumer Business Services in Augsburg, and Cheryl from the Department of Justice, and John Gray from the Financial Fraud Division. So really, the purpose of this bill is to just really try to narrow in on who's responsible for these shell corporations and to make sure that we have the ability to take action against them if they're not purporting to do what they say they're doing, and it looks like that they are committing fraud. That's sort of the amendment in the A6 amendment you see before you was a technical amendment that the Department of Revenue wanted. They were very late in reviewing this, and at last minute caught an issue they wanted to have addressed. So really happy we were able to get that in place. I will note that I just found out this morning that Betsy Earls and Associated Oregon Industries have a question about something that we haven't really had time to figure out. It's actually been in the bill for months, happy to look at that. And I think that's why we pulled the work session off, just so we had time to have that conversation. So with that, I could turn it over to Cheryl and answer specific questions about the bill, if you have any, on the substance of the bill.
Thank you.
Co-Chair Manning, members of the committee, my name is Cheryl Heemstra. I'm the Deputy Legislative Director at the Oregon Department of Justice. I'm here today, happy to support House Bill 2191. Here to answer questions if you have any on the substance of the bill. We are excited to be partnering with all the parties mentioned and are happy to take a look at any remaining issues.
Okay. Are there any questions from the committee? Representative Nierman.
So thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I'm going to confess I haven't read all 28 pages of this, what happens to the assets of a corporation that gets administratively dissolved?
Co-Chair Manning, Representative Nierman, in the bill, it doesn't specify what happens with the assets of the corporation if it does get dissolved. Typically, you're going to go through a winding down process that's laid out in statute when a corporation comes to a close. That's already in existing law. I will note that if appropriate, the Secretary of State or the Attorney General could take action and impose any civil fines, and those might come out of the assets of the corporation if the court finds that it should that is justified.
Finally, I do have one other question. Just as a takeaway, we'll leave it out. When I was looking at the A7, it has an emergency clause in there, but it says that it doesn't take effect until 1 January. So I was kind of running, it's kind of like an oxymoron, you know, what LFO?
Yes, Senator, the emergency clause that you find in the A7 amendments was included at LFO's request, not at the request of others. The reason why we have an emergency clause is because the bill adds an expenditure limitation that is valid for the entire 24 months of the 17-19 biennium. So even though the expenditures will only, if you approve it, would only cover the costs beginning in January 1, we need to have an emergency clause on all bills that have expenditure limitations or appropriations so that they cover the full 24-month period. So it is a technical, the reason it is in there is for a technical reason. We do not pass budget bills that don't have emergency clauses.
Okay. Well, thank you for that. Senator Johnson just joined us.
No worries.
So I didn't, I know that you came in and you, I don't know if you have any questions regarding the bill while we have Rep. Hovey here.
I don't.
No. Rep. Hovey, thank you, Cheryl. Thank you so much. And we will call the next person. I think we have two that's from Secretary of State, Peter Throck and Steve, if you will both join us. So we take, I'm assuming that you're going to be coming with the same message, so we'll get you up together. For the record, please state your name.
Thank you, Co-Chair Manning, members of the committee. My name is Steve Elzinga, and I'm the Governmental and Legal Affairs Director for Secretary of State Dennis Richardson. Secretary Richardson strongly supports cracking down on money laundering, tax evasion, and other financial crimes, and he supports House Bill 2191 with the amendments that are before you today. Peter will talk more about the specifics of how our office will be involved in cracking down on fraudulent corporations, but I just wanted to put our position in context and remind the committee that in addition to the work that Rep. Holby did, which we are very appreciative of, there was a consensus work group, and there were a number of stakeholders that included comments. We understand that there is a concern that was raised today, and we're happy to work with anyone else to try and address that concern, because we want to make sure that it's a consensus product. But we are fully supportive of the bill, and we appreciate the work of others as a team to get to the point we're at. We started with a bill that was much broader, and we felt had some unintended consequences that would have hurt small businesses in the state, and we were able to narrow it down through collaboration to a point, the point we're at today, that we believe will afford due process to the businesses that are trying to do a good job while allowing us to crack down on fraudulent companies. And as far as this fits into the Secretary of State budget request, we just remind the committee that we believe that continuing the existing functions of our office at current service level is our number one priority and should come before adding any additional functions to our office. So we would ask the committee that, first of all, fund continuing service level and Secretary Richardson's priorities of adding two additional IT auditors to help ensure full IT security. And then this is also part of something we support, but we would ask for those other funding priorities to come first.
Thank you.
Co-Chair Manning, members of the committee, I'm Peter Threlkeld, the Director of the Corporation Division for the Secretary of State's Office, here to speak with you today about House Bill 2191. The House bill will discourage the use of Oregon companies for tax evasion and money laundering by requiring business corporations and limited liability companies to provide a physical address at formation, which they're currently not required to do. They will also be required to provide the name and address of at least one director or controlling shareholder or authorized representative with direct knowledge of the operations and business activities of the corporation or LLC. The bill provides the Secretary of State with authority to investigate potential or suspected violations in business filings in compliance with statute, and the authority to dissolve the corporate charter of a company who fails to comply with the Secretary's investigation. The bill prohibits the use of bearer shares, the concealing of company location, and provides that certain principals of a corporation may be held liable for fraudulent securities activities. The bill authorizes the Department of Revenue to dissolve a business corporation or an LLC for failure to comply with Oregon tax law and their reporting obligations under that. It also provides or permits the courts and the Attorney General to dissolve a business entity found to be an illegal shell company and bring action against the individuals behind the company. There is a fiscal impact of $157,718 in the 17-19 biennium. That would increase to, that's at 21 months, it would be $180,000 roughly in the 2019-21 biennium when it turns into a full 24-month funding. This would provide limitation for one compliance specialist investigator position, and that position would support the new workload to investigate and enforce corporation and limited liability company compliance with statute and processing of dissolutions that are anticipated under the bill. The investigator will conduct reviews of business registration filing documents, conduct on-site reviews of business premise to determine physical location, prepare and issue interrogatory letters to compel corporations and limited liability companies to provide the secretary or law enforcement with answers to questions regarding the filings, corporate ownership records, and actual business location. So I thank you for allowing my testimony. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Are there questions from the committee? Senator DeBoer?
Thank you, Mr. Co-chair. Kind of get my thoughts together here. So the $157,000, is that out of general fund? Or can you increase fees for corporate registration to cover that?
Co-chair Manning, Senator DeBoer, those are other funds that are currently collected by the Secretary of State. Our fees for business registration are set in statute, so our office has no authority or ability to raise the fees. Only the legislature can do that.
So maybe in the short session, you can give us some recommendations?
We could certainly look at that.
The other thing, and one other question, if I can continue. Can you, since we have all this horrible discussion about corporations, can you give us an example of what maybe a past case or something where the shell corporation and what that actually is for people to understand?
Certainly. Co-Chair Manning, Senator DeBoer, probably the most relevant case, there's a registered agent up in Washington County that registers business corporations. They have an affiliate business that they work with down in California, and they take these companies and they sell them to individuals operating in basically Eastern European countries. They've in the past named them with bank and financial company names. They've named them with pharmaceutical company names that or pharmaceutical companies, similar names that are pretty well known. And then they'll go and offer securities offers, prospectuses that are a very good deal for a potential investor, potentially a good deal. But if you were buying shares in Pfizer, they're going to offer them at a discount. Unfortunately, it's not the real Pfizer, and or not the real Chase Bank. And so then the people wind up buying worthless shares. They're defrauded because the sales are outside of the state of Oregon and they never solicit to Oregonians. The DCBS Financial Securities Division, it's outside of the scope of their jurisdiction. They're small sales, so they're outside of Securities and Exchange Commission's jurisdiction, and they're happening in foreign countries. And so Interpol and other law enforcement agencies have a difficult time trying to track these people down and pursue the bad actors and make recoveries for the victims.
Senator Johnson.
But we can't inoculate against every unsophisticated or perhaps profit-motivated investor doing business with a scam organization, can we?
Commissioner Manning, Senator Johnson, I would agree with that assessment. There's certainly a component of buyer beware people need to go into the market and do their own due diligence, but it's easy for people to get taken in and get confused. What this bill will allow us to do is go to the companies and why they're choosing Oregon over other states is hard to say. We know that they go to Delaware. We know they go to Wyoming. We know they go to Nevada. Most states have the same model business acts. So we all pretty much do the same thing. We collect the same information. I think it's just that registered agent that's facilitating the transaction. If you have some of these folks that are located in your state, you're going to see a little bit higher volume of this kind of activity. And so, but under this bill, we'll be able to issue those interrogatory letters and go and ask these companies to provide us with their shareholder list, you know, who are their owners, and gather that information, turn it over to the Attorney General, turn it over to law enforcement.
Okay. Follow up.
And what assurance do you have that the AG or law enforcement will follow up? I mean, where's that nexus between, I keep thinking of the ad, I'm a monitor, I'm not a police officer, where they're robbing the banks. So you now have identified a bad actor. What makes you think that the AG, for example, would act on it?
Our interactions with the AG, they seem to be highly motivated at this point to really go after some of these companies. And part of what they've been missing is that access to that ownership list. This bill will give us that.
Any other questions from the committee? Representative Notman.
Thank you for how do you clean up where we're at, or how do you address the situation of where we're at right now? So, for instance, if I have a legitimate company, but I haven't given you a physical address or something, but I'm a legitimate business, what do you do? Do you go back and ask me for a legitimate address or a physical address or whatever, or do you have any intention of doing that, or?
Co-Chair Manning, Representative Nierman, in the current process, we just, at formation, the law doesn't require or ask us to get that physical address from the business. That is collected at the first annual report and every annual report thereafter. So, 1 year later, we are collecting that information. So for the vast majority of companies, we do have that information. It's just we don't get it collected up front. So within a year, we would certainly work through and have the address information for all of our companies.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I can't believe, can we add in this bill so when they first apply, you'll get name, address? I can't believe that in Oregon, when you have to have virtually a birth certificate to get a driver's license, that you can create a corporation without it. Registered agent name without an address. So, I mean, when you first collect, not the year later.
Co-Chair Manning, Co-Chair Smith, Senator DeBoer, we do collect registered agent at formation. That is one of the things that is required, registered agent and registered address. One of the things that was missing was what is the principal address of the corporation. And about half the states collect that currently. The other half of the states don't require it either. And Oregon was one of those states that didn't require it.
So, Mr. Chair, can we include that in here so we're getting a physical address of the business?
Senator DeBoer, that is in the bill.
Okay.
So that is a requirement, as well as we'll be collecting that information on the director, or at least one director, or a key shareholder, or somebody that has direct knowledge of the operations of the business. So we'll have better information than we have today.
Okay. Are there any other questions from the committee? All right. Thank you very much. We have two other people that are scheduled here, Jesse O'Brien and also Betsy Earls, I believe it is. If the two of you can come forward, please. Is there anyone else out there that wanted to provide public testimony on HB 2191? Okay, please state your name.
Co-chairs and members of the committee, for the record, my name is Jesse O'Brien. I'm the policy director with OSPIRG, which is the Oregon State Public Interest Research Group, a statewide consumer advocacy group, and I'm happy to be here in support of House Bill 2191. This bill provides some really important tools for Oregon law enforcement to go after some bad actors and crack down on the abuse of anonymous shell companies in Oregon. We have worked and really appreciated the opportunity to work with the Department of Justice and Representative Holvey on this bill. We've also worked with an ad hoc coalition of some other consumer advocates and small business advocates who are also in support of this concept. I'm the only one who was able to be here today, but there's a number of groups that support this. I'll just say just briefly, the reason we're interested in this is partly as a consumer advocacy issue, because these shell corporations are often a locus for criminal behavior that specifically targets consumers, consumer scams, as was mentioned before, but also as an advocate for taxpayers, because these shell corporations are often a vehicle for tax evasion that then the rest of us all have to pay for. I will mention, I know there was a question that came up earlier about some specific examples, that just to advise you to look at OLIS and at some of the testimony that was submitted in the prior committee. There's a number of examples, including in a short fact sheet that I submitted with some examples from Oregon that included some criminal behavior that involved the laundering of tens and in one case over $100 million through shell corporations in Oregon. It's fairly disturbing, it's...
Yes, Senator.
You alluded to the fact that was on OLIS. Give us some details.
Under the prior hearing in the House Business and Labor Committee, under the section of OLIS that says meeting materials for this bill, there's
right.
A number of different submissions.
Well, just tell us now. Some of us haven't reviewed OLIS. So you're talking about $100 million worth of tax laundering. I'd be very curious to know the name of the actors in that one.
I'd have to pull up the document. It wasn't tax evasion. It was specifically money laundering for criminal activity that involved, I believe, some Eastern European organized crime. But I do not remember the specifics without looking up the document.
That's a fairly inflammatory remark to not have the specifics. I can look it up on OLIS. Thank you.
Co-chairs and Senator Johnson, I can pull it up if you like in just a minute. I'll just also briefly mention that we are disappointed that this bill does take a slight step backward from the original bill, although it is a step in the right direction. We still support it. The original bill included disclosure of what's called the beneficial owner of a corporation, and we think that's the kind of transparency that would really get to the very root of this problem. The bill, as it is, provides some important tools for law enforcement, but ultimately it doesn't deal with the underlying problem, which is the anonymity of corporations in Oregon. I understand that there is some anxiety around beneficial owner disclosure, and we're certainly willing to have a conversation with anyone in the business community who has concerns and try to address those and figure out a way forward that works, because the intent is not to burden legitimate businesses in Oregon at all, but to make sure that we have the tools to go after the bad actors. But thank you, and I will take a moment to pull up that document.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Mr. Co-Chairs, and members of the committee. For the record, Betsy Earls, representing Associated Oregon Industries and Oregon Business Association. And I am before you today not to oppose the bill, but to bring to your attention, as it just came to our attention, an area where we think there might be a slight problem with the bill. We would like to have the opportunity to look at that more closely and potentially make a change. And we have been talking with Representative Holvey about that and others. The potential problem area is in Section 3, which appears to provide a private right of action against an officer, director, employer, agent of a corporation. And our understanding about the bill is that it is directed towards shell corporations and bad actors, but we are very concerned that this would sweep in all corporations, and if that's the case, we would like an opportunity to modify that section just to apply to shell corporation issues. So that's the bulk of my testimony. I could go further, but.
Representative Thomberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, Ms. Earls. A quick question for you. We, of course, are the Ways and Means Committee, and we're focused on the financial aspects of this bill. Was the topic that you are bringing to us now discussed at the policy level?
Mr. Co-Chairs and Representative Gomberg, as it happens, I thought that it had not been discussed at the policy committee, but I have pulled up the testimony of our member Chris Hall from Perkins Coie, actually, and it appears that he did raise concerns about this at that point. But seeing as how he's not a lobbyist that's in the building all the time, I don't believe he had an opportunity to pursue it. And I'm terribly sorry to be coming to all of you so late, but I have to tell you it's.
Well, don't apologize, Mr. Earls. We're seeing a lot of policy issues that are seeping into budget discussions at this late date for a variety of reasons, and it's just a little more problematic for us to move forward on policy issues within the Ways and Means construct.
I understand.
Senator Johnson.
I would follow along with that line of thinking, but sometimes it is in this forum after a bill has made it all the way through the process that we discover some of these 11th hour either opportunities or 11th hour problems. And while there's a little more process involved, it is certainly not it won't forestall the possibility that this could be fixed to everybody's satisfaction. And
it's nothing you said.
Goodbye. Was it me?
Go on.
Apologies to Senator Johnson and my colleagues and I are called to another meeting at 3:30, and then we're on the floor at 4 o'clock.
Yeah. Cool. So. Goodbye. Anyway, I agree with him. Okay. I'd like to see this fixed, frankly.
Thank you so much, Mr. Co-Chair and Senator Johnson. We'll work with Representative Holvey to do that.
Okay. So we are not going to hold a work session on this today because there are other questions been requested by the big co-chair that there are some things that have to be worked out. So if there was no others that wanted to...
Pardon me, Co-Chair Manning. Senator Johnson, would you like me to state for the record the information?
Sure.
About... Okay. So this is from the fact sheet that is available on OLIS. It's only one of a few examples, but I'll just read it quickly. Viktor Kaganov, who emigrated from Russia in 1998, worked on behalf of Russian clients to funnel more than $172 million into the United States and out to more than 50 countries using numerous Oregon-based shell companies. According to court documents, Kaganov did not comply with Oregon laws requiring him to obtain a license to operate the money transmitting business, and he failed to register his money transmitting operation with the U.S. Department of Treasury as required by federal statutes and regulations. And there's a number of more details to that case.
That's very helpful. I presume the disposition was that Mr. Kaganov might be a guest of ours down State Street, or what has happened to him?
I don't know that off the top of my head. I'd have to look it up.
Thank you.
I would have the same question, you know, if he's been checked into the barroom hotel. But any other questions at the panel? No other questions. We don't have anybody else on here to testify. And again, we will not be doing a work session on this bill, moving it forward at this time. So with that, we will adjourn and look like we will reconvene tomorrow at 1500 hours, which is 3 o'clock civilian times, and we are adjourned.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
And we are adjourned.